All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. Sorry we are a day late, but we are not a penny short. That sucked. But like, comment, subscribe, and follow on the Instagram.
I appreciate it. I liked it, man.
The YouTube. Fire your questions into Mr. Anderson, and he will field them our way at the end of each episode, and we will get to them. We will. If it takes me and Joseph staying a little longer because Mikey V has to bail, we'll stay back and do it. We'll just pivot and do
one of those like episodes when we just took viewer questions.
That's true. That was
the NFL season. I feel like an NFL season, everyone wants to go over the games. Yeah. So we're gonna
have a lot of viewer question episodes when football's done. There's gonna be a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, but let's just jump right into it. Let's start, as always, let's start with college football. A lot going on here. I think Mr. Anderson wants me to start with something else, but I'm going to start with Alabama LSU. I thought that was the game, one of the games of the week, if not the game of the week. It was a great game. It was a good Saturday for games all around, but I thought that was one of the best games.
It was a great first half.
Well, yeah, you're right. But Mikey, can Alabama still make the playoffs after a game like that?
Yeah, I think they can. A lot of things are going to have to fall Alabama's way, right? Because Pac-12 champion, if it's a one-loss team in the Pac-12 champion, they're not going to get left out. Or if it's Washington undefeated, certainly not going to get left out. But Alabama is going to get a lot of respect. Alabama is Alabama. I know they stayed number eight in the playoff poll this week. Not much changed in the college football playoff rankings. The top four remained exactly the same. Bama stayed at eight. But that win over LSU was a statement win. They finally figured out what to do with this Bama offense with Jalen Milroe. I mean, I'm watching this first half and I'm like, how did Bama lose to Texas? And I had Texas as a playoff team. I had Texas as a very good team. But if this kid's going to play like that and he runs a 4-4 at his size and they play defense, listen, they couldn't stop Jaden Daniels in the first half either. It was a heavyweight title fight and the offenses were just exchanging blows and defenses couldn't figure out how to stop the quarterback run. They couldn't, but that's the killer in college. If you have a quarterback who could throw and run at an elite level, you're going to be in the mix. If you're one of these powerhouse schools, you're just going to be you're going to be right there up until the end. I think Bama can still make the playoff ticket. In fact, I think they are possibly one of, if not the most dangerous teams in the country right now. I would not want to play
out. Who are they going to beat out? Florida State?
I think they could beat Georgia. Bama team could beat Georgia. Georgia, to me, listen, I'm not saying Missouri's not a good team. I'm just saying that Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game is going to be a great game, and I will not be surprised. I'm going to tell you this. If Alabama is a bigger than 4-point underdog in that game, I'm going to take Alabama fucking money line in that game. I just was very impressed with what I saw. And then second half, they must have made the adjustments because LSU stopped scoring. Now, I know the cheap shot hit on the quarterback and all the controversy surrounding that, blah, 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 whatever. But I just was very impressed with the Bama offense and this kid Milroe. I mean, he was running like it reminded me like a Terrell Pryor or like a Cam Newton. Wow. I mean, he was just,
you know, the problem, they didn't give him enough chance early on in the season.
Yeah.
They jumped the gun too quickly.
Yep.
And they
yep.
didn't let him play his style of football. Yep. And now you're seeing he was by far their best option. It was never a question.
Yes. Yeah, to answer the short answer, ticket, yes, I think Bama can make the playoff. I do. And I do. Again, things are going to have to fall their way. They're obviously going to have to beat Georgia. They're going to have to win out, which I don't think will be a problem. You know, the Iron Bowl always could be a weird game with Auburn, but you run the table, win the Iron Bowl, and then you go and beat Georgia in the SEC title game, and they're in. They beat Georgia in the SEC title game. Georgia's undefeated. They're in.
By the way, if they do make the playoff, you got Nick Saban as your coach.
Yeah.
They're back in the game.
That's what I said. I mean, if they make it, they're the team nobody's going to want to play. Nobody's going to want to play them. Nobody. Yeah. Forget about Michigan. Forget about Ohio State. Nobody's going to want to play them. Nobody. Nobody.
Well, let me ask you this, because there's always a team every year that is obviously one of the best teams. They just didn't show up one week and they get a loss and they miss the playoffs or they miss the national championship game. It sucks because they're obviously one of the better teams. They just had a bad week. But in college, you can't do that. But Mikey,
TCU did last year.
That's right. But Mikey, regardless, and Joe, regardless of records, regardless of anything, just from what you've seen, the eye test, what would your top four be right now? Both of you guys, regardless of record, regardless of anything, what would your top four be?
In no particular order?
No particular order, but what would your top four best games be?
Ohio State, Alabama, Oregon, and...
Well, I think Florida State looks good, man.
I just, the ACC is just so, like, they're just so down. The eye test, if Ticket's talking just eye test, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, and Oregon for me. I know Washington beat Oregon, but the way that game was mismanaged by the Oregon coach, I just feel like I don't think Oregon will lose again. I don't. I think they'll run the table. So to me, I think they're one of the, I think they got the better defense than Washington. I just think it was coaching malpractice on those fourth downs. And then the decision to the last sequence of plays there with Bo Nix on their last possession. I think those are the teams, Michigan right now, Bama, Ohio State, and Oregon for me. No disrespect to Florida State. They're right on the cusp. I'm not trying to disrespect an undefeated Seminole team. I'm not. So don't get that twisted. I just think like Florida State's just going to waltz in. They are, because Clemson, like, yeah, they beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame's had to run the gamut this year. Their schedule has been murderer's row. So they upset Notre Dame. Good for them. But outside of Clemson and North Carolina, like, I don't know. I just, the ACC is just, I don't know. I'm not impressed by them. So those are my four.
Joey D.
I mean, I don't think you can take Georgia out. I think they're the defending champions. Obviously,
And yes, they're on the cusp ball. Georgia and Florida.
Just the eye test, though. Just the, because they've had a weak schedule. Like, we can all say it. I mean, they look like one of the best.
Very weak.
Yeah. Okay. I put them in. I think Michigan, to me, and again, they haven't played anybody, but to me, has looked like the best team.
They obliterate everyone they play. They do. I mean, they do.
They look, now it's going to be interesting to see how they play against a better team. I think Penn State could be in that territory too. I mean, I think Penn State could be on the cusp and take over a team like Florida State. I think if you put Penn State versus Florida State, I would not be surprised if Penn State wins.
Things get real interesting if Penn State upsets Michigan this week. Things will be very, very
That's what I'm saying. But they have a team. They had a down game. Aller played like shit against Ohio. Now, Ohio State, I think, played – they were the better team in that game.
Their defense played out of their minds. The defense played out. I mean, the defense has been playing well all year, but
– Penn State's good on both sides of the football. So yes, they are. I would say Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and then I think it's a toss-up between Florida State and Penn State. I really do. I think both either of those teams could
That's
be in
great.
There.
I don't know if I said it on this show, but I think I definitely said it to the Jet that if that Penn State Ohio State game was an 8 o'clock game, I'm not saying Ohio State wouldn't still win, but that would have been a much more compelling game into the fourth quarter. I think that would have been a much different atmosphere. And sometimes that's what sucks about these Big Ten games. A lot of these great games in the Big Ten get relegated to the big noon games.
Same thing about Michigan Penn State this week. That should be a whiteout game at night in Happy Valley with a bullet. Michigan is again getting away with, not that they're getting away with anything. They're finally playing a team of quality, but playing Penn State at noon in Happy Valley. Yeah. Is like, if you haven't been to the whiteout, I've been to three of those.
Are they nuts?
It is a completely different animal to play at that stadium at night. The stadium literally shakes. It shakes. The stadium buckles. You could feel the structure buckling when you're there at night. The kids are obviously, everyone's tanked up. They've been drinking since 8 o'clock in the morning or the night before. I remember I was hanging out with a couple guys from the track team when I went the last time years ago. These guys were drinking from 3 o'clock in the morning, the night before, all the way up until the game. It is as hostile of an environment as there is in college football. Maybe the most hostile environment, the whiteout in Happy Valley at night. And Michigan gets away. They don't have to play it. And it sucks, Ticket. And you're right. Yeah. And the horseshoe deserved that Penn State game to be at night as well. And, you know, it's just, it sucks. The TV money is all, it's all about money now. And that's it. The big noon contract and the Big Ten, that's it. It is what it is.
Yeah. I've been to no more games in college than Penn State, Happy Valley. And yeah, that place, even when it isn't a whiteout, it's a special, special place. Those guys go fucking nuts.
Crazy.
To address Mikey V's Oregon and Washington, I think obviously Michael Penix Jr. is a Heisman candidate and very well could win it.
Yep.
But on the defensive side of the ball, they're just, to me, they don't look as dominant as any of those other teams I mentioned. And same thing with Oregon. Like, they have such a good offense, but I think if they play any of those other teams, I don't think they have the defense to stop them. I really don't. And, like,
I think they're the least of those big high-scoring teams, USC, Washington, Oregon, in the Pac-12. I think they're the best defense of the three. That's why I would say Oregon to me is the team that I would like to see represent the Pac-12, because I think they would have the best chance, only because I think their defense is out of those three. But then, you know, fans from UCLA and Utah will tell you, well, what about our defense? But Utah got blown out by Oregon, so they're out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame, I used to think, was good. And then after this week against Clemson,
That's tough. That's a bad loss. Notre Dame. It's a bad loss for Notre Dame. It really is. That's a bad loss for them. They shouldn't have lost that game. That was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve to lose. They got beat up, but I'm just saying, I really didn't. That line was so fishy. That line was so fishy.
I think you got to start pointing the finger at Freeman over there, right?
Marcus Freeman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, happen.
He said what? Well, but he's been there. What is it? Three now? Is this his third season?
I want to say this is only his second season. It may be his third, though. It may be his third. You may be right.
All right. Well, second or third, man. You got to have a program like Notre Dame back in line, man. And Hartman also doesn't look great either. That's part of their issue.
Guy could never beat Clemson. That was the knock on him from Wake Forest. I mean, and it turned to be true again.
But. It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's the most revolutionary ball trimmer the world has ever seen. Gentlemen, our friends over at Manscaped have been working night and day to bring you a below-the-waist grooming experience like none other with their brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. We're talking about a next-generation trimmer with interchangeable blade heads for whatever shave your mind can imagine. AI is cool, but I think this may be the most technological advancement the world has ever seen. Upgrade your grooming game to the Ultrasphere this year by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping when you use code SPORTSMANPOD. High tech for low places. That's Manscaped. Guys, take a look at this puppy. This is one of the more beautiful pieces of machinery you could ever imagine. This is the gold standard of groin grooming. And guys, we know how nerve-wracking it could be when you're in the shower and you got to take care of business, make yourself presentable for the evening. You nick, you cut in the wrong spot, it's all over. With the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, those worries go out the window. Let me tell you right now, get your hands on one of these. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SPORTSMANPOD at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code SPORTSMANPOD at manscaped.com. I can promise you've never seen a ball trimmer look like a spaceship. Get yours today from our folks at Manscaped.
All right. Well, before we get to NFL and we move on, this might actually be a good segue into that. Is Caleb Williams, USC, is he falling apart? Is he absolutely decimating his draft stock? Is what he's doing over there with Lincoln Riley and USC? I mean, they're getting embarrassed compared to where they started the season. Joey D. What do you think about USC and more specifically, Caleb Williams?
I mean, you look at him, you know, a month ago, and now you look at him now. What a bad several weeks he's had. And it's not just the on-field losses. I think it's like him coming out and saying he wants equity in teams and stuff, like he's the best player in college football. Then he loses, what, two or three games in a row? And then he's crying in the stands with his mom. I mean, it's just a tough look. And I feel for the guy, because at the end of the day, we say this on the show, is you got to remember their kids. But at the end of the day, too, they're the highest level of athlete. And I think that he's just not conducted himself in a manner that, you know, is making me feel as like a young athlete going into the NFL that he's going to be super successful. I mean, it just looked, I mean, he's had a couple tough weeks. You know, if you're going to be a guy under pressure, a guy who's expected to be the number one pick overall, you got to be able to play through adversity. You got to be able to come through. You got to be tough. And he's crying in the stand. I'm nothing against crying, but it's just the manner at which he holds himself. It's almost like he's just like, I don't know. You go from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. You got to show that you have that internal integrity that you can overcome some bad weeks and be like, you know what? We've had a bad go at it. I still believe in this team. I'm going to still do my best, and we're going to give everything we got. To me, that's a guy who's ready to go out there and be a number one pick. Because you see, look what Bryce Young's going through with the Carolina Panthers. It ain't easy. If you're a first overall pick, you're likely going to a team where you're not going to be successful. You're not going to, you're not going to have an overload of success early on. You got to have thick skin, like Mikey B said. And I don't know. It's not been a good show in the last month for Caleb Williams in any shape or form.
Yeah, here's the thing about these kids now, and that's what they are. They're kids. And I could always overlook the crying thing because a lot of these kids, collegiate sports, they cry. You know, a lot of these kids in the NCAA tournament, you see it all the time. The kids are crying when they get knocked out of the tournament. College, here's the unfortunate reality for these kids. If you want to be getting paid millions of dollars on NIL deals, like, you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're no longer like an amateur athlete. You're getting paid as a professional at this point. You're getting endorsements. You're getting, you know, all these deals and all this money. Like, that's the thing. Like, you want that. Certain things come with that. Certain responsibilities come with that, and expectations come with that. Caleb Williams, to me, this year is just having a real difficult year. It proves a couple things. It proves how difficult it is to repeat a Heisman campaign, why it hasn't been done since Archie Griffin did it in the 70s. It's almost impossible. It's extremely, extremely difficult. He ran into a buzzsaw situation this year with playing in the same conference as Penix and Bo Nix, two extremely talented quarterbacks in the same conference that are high-powered offenses. And Lincoln Riley, I mean, USC is just not, it's just, they just don't play any semblance of defense. And that's not Caleb Williams' fault. That's Lincoln Riley's fault. And shame on USC for giving this guy a 24/7 standby private jet. Shame on USC for buying him a $200 million house. Shame on USC for giving him the keys to the university in the city when the guy hasn't won a goddamn thing at USC, and the defense has gotten worse, if that's even possible. Where is the accountability for Lincoln Riley? Lincoln Riley is the guy that should be getting called to the carpet. This is a horrific job by somebody who was paid as if he's Urban Meyer, as if he's Nick Saban, as if he's Dabo Sweeney, as if he's one of these top, and he's not. He's not won a damn thing. Shame on USC. It's on them. The egg is on their face. Caleb Williams is just, he's running into a buzzsaw. He's got tremendous Heisman quality candidates playing against him in his own conference. And he's got a coach that can't assemble a defense. It's not his fault.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I saw a stat where the offense is averaging something like 34 points a game. And they're still losing football games. I mean,
and that's low. I think that may be low. I bet I wouldn't be surprised if they're averaging more than that. But they got to be letting up like 35.
Oh yeah,
their defense is atrocious. It's non-existent. Non-existent.
It is
embarrassing. You're watching a USC football game with 2 minutes left to go in the half. Washington scores or an opposing team scores, and you're like, okay, that's probably the score before halftime. And then at halftime, you see the score and there's another touchdown. Yeah. And you're like, how did that happen in the span of a minute?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Insane.
I mean, you know what everyone says when they're a new coach? It's not my kids. It's not my kids. But, you know, we'll see. It was premature to give Lincoln Riley all those things, especially what is he? What is he like 41 years old? what is he? Is he like 38 years old?
I mean, the guy, did the guy win a national championship that I didn't know about? I understand he coached Heisman. I understand he got Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was a ready-made quarterback from Alabama. I understand he got Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was a ready-made quarterback from Texas Tech. And they won Heisman trophies and he got to the playoffs. But
Mikey, some of these coaches, look at Brian Kelly. He got way overpaid.
I get it, man. Win a national title. I want a guy enough. Who fucking wins a national title. And then I don't have any issue with you overpaying him. I don't have any issue. But
a lot of it has to come with the way these guys market themselves. They get themselves in the media. They get guys like Colin Cowherd. There was no one bigger. Oh,
look at Lane Kiffin. See, these guys get way overpaid.
Well, you know what the problem is, too? Over the last decade or so, there's only a handful of guys that have won a national title. And it really, the list is short. It's Dabo Sweeney, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, and Kirby Smart.
Yeah,
that's literally where the list ends. There's been nobody else who's won a national title.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
All right. Well, moving on. We'll move to the NFL before Mikey loses his mind here.
I should have saved Lincoln Riley for he's a problem. I should have. Come back. Well, replay that. Replay that. So, because that's pissing me off.
All right, let's move to the Thursday night game. It wasn't the best game in the world, but, you know, it was between the Steelers and the Titans. Couple storylines there. Are the Steelers possibly the biggest fraud in the NFL? Again, I mean, 5-3. Is that team really that good? And then also, Will Levis, second game, everyone thought he was setting the world on fire, comes out second game, plays a real defense, and the kid didn't have a touchdown and one interception. So, guys, what do you make of that game? Joey D., we'll start with you.
I mean – listen, the Steelers are not the sexiest team
on paper.
They
were a lock. They were a lock last Thursday.
They were. I don't think any point anyone thought that they were going to lose that game.
No.
And they covered, too. No? What was the
spread? Yes, they covered. Yes,
yeah, they made me a lot of money. Yep. I mean, they rich covered. Man.
That was the pick. We gave out that pick, I think. Out that pick.
Listen, good defenses, you see with the Jets, you see with the Browns, they will keep you in games, they will win you some games, and I think that this is the case, is that this defense is just very good, and, you know, friend of the pod, Kenny Pickett, we love him to death, wish him all the best. If they had a guy under center there who was driving this offense forward, they would be a top team in the AFC, with the way
you
that
think,
their defense
you think was. So, huh?
I think that they got enough pieces, man, and they're well coached. Yeah. They're a well coached team. I think they're a team that people don't give credit for, and they're going to win. They're going to end up winning 9 or 10 games this year, and they're going to probably make a playoff spot tick.
I know a lot of guys from Pittsburgh that are calling for his head. They're pretty much
for Tomlin's head.
He's been there what 10 years? He's won
a
three
500
playoff
coach. He's a
he's
500
won three
coach.
Playoff games in a decade. I mean, I know a lot of guys who hate that narrative that he's one of the best coaches out there.
He did win a Super Bowl. Listen, I think that game was one of the easier games to pick on the board last week, only because rookie quarterback coming off such a high like that, now traveling on the road to a place that, you know, rookie quarterbacks against Tomlin, you could say what you want about Tomlin, but against that defense in Pittsburgh, that was always on a short week. That was maybe if it was a Sunday game, maybe, but on a short week, that's a very tough spot to put Levis in. I honestly think that Levis kind of looks the part. I think he kind of looks the part. I wouldn't say he was terrible by any means. I mean, of course, there was no way he was going to have a repeat performance of what he did against the Falcons the week before. But the Steelers ticket, to answer your question, are they frauds? I don't know who purports them to be real contenders. I don't consider them to be a real contender. I consider them to be a bubble playoff team. So in they're that like regard, I don't think they are a fraud. I think they're a bubble playoff team. I think
I only mean fraud in that they have a decent looking record.
Yeah,
therefore, people think they might be a good team.
Pittsburgh Steelers are the same as the New Orleans Saints in the NFC.
I agree.
That's good. Yeah, good defense, inconsistent quarterback play. The weapons on the Saints, I might trust a little more. Cause to me, Najee Harris is very unreliable to me.
Warren looks better.
Deontay, Washington, right? Washington.
No, I think
who's the receiver? George Pickens, I mean, is a head case. Everyone knows he's a head case. He's starting to complain now. So maybe he'll get the squeaky wheel treatment this week and get a lot of targets. Deontay Johnson is just, these guys, they have their skill guys, to me, are just wildly inconsistent. They're just inconsistent. And that paired with the fact that Pickett is inconsistent is a recipe for overall offensive inconsistency with the coordinator that they have, that nobody likes, Matt Canada. That's a recipe for disaster. But yeah, I just think the Steelers are just a bubble playoff team. That's just what I think they are, and nothing more, nothing less. I wouldn't call them a fraud, because I wouldn't put them in a spot where I would say they're a contender in my eyes. They're just a playoff.
I only mean fraud in that their record makes them look better.
Yeah,
than
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But in your eyes, you've always seen them as just a bubble team. So I understand.
Well, no, I mean, but like, yes, I guess if you look at their record from the outside and you hadn't watched them, then yeah, yes.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Frankfurt, Germany. We had a game between the Dolphins and the Chiefs. Ended up being a better game than we thought it'd be. But the Chiefs ended up pulling it out. They won 21-14. Mikey, walk me through that game.
Well, I was at Disney on Ice for that game. I had Disney on Ice tickets. We took the kids to Disney on Ice, which was great.
In the morning? You were
yeah, 11 a.m. show on purpose. Wow. Yeah, on purpose that was done, because it's either that or like a mid-afternoon show on Sunday. That's not good. So we went to that. I was following it along on my phone. I was actually streaming it at one point on my phone because I had a bet on it. The Miami Dolphins, the encouraging thing is that the second half they played defense and they shut the Chiefs down in the second half. That's the encouraging thing. The discouraging thing is what happened in the first half, that they were completely inept, both sides of the ball pretty much. And the fact that Miami still just can't get over this hump and they can't get this albatross from around their neck of the fact that they can't beat a team with a 500 or better record, that all their wins are against sub 500 record teams. That narrative is not broken still. And I think until it does get broken, you want to talk about a team that just is really, that's a team that we need to be talking about. Is that a fraud? Are the Dolphins a fraud? Because they have not beaten anyone. Every time, the Bills, the Eagles, the Chiefs, they have to beat a good team, and they just haven't done it. They haven't done it. Tua looked really bad on that last drive.
Awful. He looked bad the whole game.
So I'm concerned about the fraud alert in Miami. I am, and I have dear friends. Two of my closest friends are diehard Miami Dolphin fans, and man, are they just—they're just distraught, because this team opened up the season like gangbusters, and I mean, they just cannot get it right against good teams, and that's a problem. It's a problem.
Joey D.
The Miami Dolphins—they're like. They're like looking at a brand new shiny car that has an engine that doesn't work. They look good. You want to think that they're at the top level of some of these other teams, but they aren't. And it all starts with Tua. It seems like he doesn't come up big in these big games. He doesn't make the big play. There are a couple times, specifically in the first half, overthrowing balls, not making the right decisions. And their defense isn't something that lay your hat on. We've talked about it before. Now, with Howard back and Ramsey back, they looked more competent on the corner side of the ball. And they shut down Kelsey completely. But it's like, who's going to step up and make a play? And a lot of people love Mike McDaniels. I don't like, he doesn't get into the game, man. Every time they pan over to him, he just looks like he's zoned out, like he's stunned. I don't know. Maybe it's just his characteristic, but he doesn't look like he's trying to fire the team
just
up.
A weird guy.
This is a strange dude. I don't know. And it's like, when you have a game like that, you need like, let's go. Somebody yelling on the sidelines, or somebody like sparking someone. Now they came back, so they obviously made the halftime adjustment, but they're not in the same category as a Bengals team right now that looks as good as anyone, as a Chiefs team that has experience, as I don't even think the Bills. I think if they play the Bills again, they would lose. So you talk frauds. I agree with Mikey. That's a team to start looking at pretty closely.
Yeah, especially coming off a loss like Kansas City did last week. I mean, and not spending anywhere near as much time in Frankfurt as the Dolphins did. It was a good win. It was a really good win. All right, boys, and on to one of the best games of the week. I think we thought it coming in, and it certainly didn't disappoint. As the game unfolded, the Cowboys went to Philadelphia. Eagles came out victorious, but it was a tough game. It was a tough game all the way to the bitter end, as Joey D knows. Joe, I mean, I know you had a back and forth bet going in that game. Looked like no one wanted to win it towards the end. Walk me through it.
The Cowboys, they lost that game for themselves. Because I'm telling you right now, the amount of inch, like, you don't ever watch the Al Pacino, like, speech, like, you win and lose by a matter of inches. That was this game personified. They literally, between the two-point conversion where Dak stepped out of bounds on the one-yard line, which I don't know how he even did that. There was no one around him. And then the catch by that Schoenfeld, which was on the half-yard line with his knee down, which should have been a touchdown on fourth and one. They should have won that game. They were dominant in the first half. They looked good. They played a solid game. And I'll tell you what, I normally come on Dak. I thought he played a very solid all-around game. He made big-time throws when he needed to. The defense on the Cowboys side played good. And then the fact that Philly let them that close with the amount of time that they had left, getting a 15-yard penalty towards the end. It was like a collapse of all collapses. And yet they win the game. And again, Tick, I'm going to go back to saying what I've said all the last several weeks on this podcast. When you win ugly games, you're a good team. And it doesn't matter if it's sexy. It doesn't matter if it's a blowout. Now, obviously, you don't want to win every game like this, but they just keep winning, man. And the defense, they managed to find a way to shut them down. Got a big time sack at the end of the game. You guys came out victorious. And you know what? That's all that matters at the end of the day. So good game though, man. What a game. A couple things turn around a different way. The Cowboys easily could have been walking out there with a massive win. And all of a sudden people could be talking, but such is life, you know,
Mikey.
Yeah, it's short and sweet. The football is a game of inches. They call it a game of inches for a reason. And you saw that fully on Sunday. I expected a high-scoring game. It was a pretty high-scoring game. I expected it to be a tight game. It's a divisional rivalry game, two of the better teams in the NFC. Eagles, the home team, and they managed to squeak it out. I mean, against all odds, the butt fumble or whatever that was with DeAndre Swift. I mean, listen, Dallas should have, in my opinion, yes, did Dallas shoot themselves in the foot? But really, I mean, the Eagles, to me, I mean, it shouldn't have come down to Dallas having a chance at the end. Dallas shouldn't have had a chance at the end. The game should have been over. The Eagles did that to themselves. It was a mistake. Again, the Eagles just keep they just keep rolling, though. And, you know, I hope Jalen ain't too banged up, Tick. I hope he's not really fucked up with his knee or whatever's going on with him. Because I still think they're the team to beat in the NFC. And I think they're still going to have a lot of success. But, you know, Dallas, again, another team that it's just like, you know, yeah, Dak played well. And you know, but you got to eventually win a big game, Dak. You got to win a big game. You got to win a big game. And Dallas just doesn't. They just another team that just they don't win a big game. They gotta do it. And they certainly didn't on Sunday. And you can make all the excuses up in the world. And yeah, Joe, they had so many microscopic chances of fate flipping from one side to the other. But you know, the better team makes those plays, and you know, that's the way it goes. Like, I get it. It's unlucky to a point, but at the same time, there was plenty of opportunities, mm-hmm. and there shouldn't have been one at the end. So onward and upward for the Eagles, and mm-hmm. Dallas is going to, you know, the Dallas fans are still going to have their opinions about who's best for this team moving forward and why they can't win these types of games. And, you know, it's gotta be tough. That's a tough spot. 'Cause they have the horses, Dallas. They certainly have the horses.
Yeah, these in-division NFC East games are always good. Whether a team's really great or a team really sucks, they always play each other really, really tough. They do, because a lot of these coaches, a lot of these players have been there for a long time. And it's just really good football.
Unless it's the Giants now, because the Giants.
Sure. And that sucks too, because the Giants are a lot like the Jets in the way that, like, they have got a really solid defense. They've got one half of the ball figured out. It's just the offense that just can't figure it out. Now, obviously, the Jets have good wide receivers and a good running back. They've got more pieces, but without a good quarterback, doesn't seem to make that offense work. But going back to the NFC East and the Eagles, you know, really, really good teams turn the ball over. They make mistakes and they still win football games. Great teams don't make mistakes. And you know what? That's what happened last year with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Eagles. You know, one team made a mistake, the other didn't. So I still have concerns. The end of that game was awfully sloppy. They brought the Cowboys back in that game when they never needed to. That's what they do. That's what this team's done. They've kept people in ball games. They're a lot like the Chiefs in that way, where it's like they keep teams around. They're letting teams play football into the fourth quarter. And it just shouldn't be that way with the way they play. They've got enough talent all around. And every first drive of the Eagles is a touchdown. Every first drive is a touchdown, and then we just go docile for about a quarter and a half, and then we're in a tight ball game, and we got to fight our way to win it.
They are a great, and I put it out last week. They are a great first quarter over team to bet the Eagles, because they do score almost every opening drive. And let's keep that a secret. We don't want to advertise.
Sure. But then we just can't get it together. So, I'm really not that disappointed with this game. It was a tough in-division game. The Cowboys always play as tough. I always knew it was going to be a tight game. I never thought otherwise. But the last minute and a half, 2 minutes of that game could have done without. But it is what it is. Moving on to, you know, possibly an even better game was the Bills-Bengals. I think, again, another game we all thought was going to be great, and it didn't disappoint. First half was obviously a lot more entertaining to watch. But still a good game nonetheless. The Bengals pulled it out. They won 24-18. Mikey, what did you see in that game? Are the Bengals back?
Joe Burrow's fully back. Okay. The Bengals are back. They're a very good football team. They're an AFC contender. They're a Super Bowl contender. There's no doubt in my mind if they stay healthy. That's what they are. T. Higgins looked better than Jamar Chase to me. The way he was catching the ball away from his body, how strong he looked with his hands, extending his arms, how big of a target he made himself. He was putting on a clinic, T. Higgins. It was actually beautiful to watch. And then on the other side of the football, man, I don't know. The Bengals are not world beaters by any means on defense. They have a good Anarumo is a good defense coordinator, very good. But like, the Bengals aren't like one of these defenses where it's like they're the Ravens. But the way the first quarter unfolded, like back and forth scoring, trading touchdowns back and forth, like
first three drives were touchdowns.
Man, right? Yeah. I just really thought that like. It's like the Bills something is not right. Something is not right there. And maybe it's just lack of talent behind Stephon Diggs. Maybe it's really that Gabe Davis had that one game against Kansas City in the playoffs. And ever since then, everyone thought he was going to be this world-class wide receiver too, the perfect complement to Diggs, and he's not. And I do think that Dalton Kincaid is a star. I think he's a star.
He's their best player.
He is.
From Diggs.
He is. He's a stud. The run game, it feels like they can't get the balance of the run game and the pass game right. It feels like Josh wants to run, but he doesn't. It's just really weird to watch them play right now, and something is off there. Something is way off, but nothing is off with Joe Burrow right now. Joe Burrow is fully back and clicking, and that's very bad news for everyone in the AFC. Even with the Ravens, as good as they look, and they look terrific, I can't wait to see that game.
Joey D?
Listen, this was my game of the week. I saw the Bengals play the Niners the week before, and it was evident to me when Joe Burrow gets time in the pocket to actually make a pass and see these players fulfill their routes, you're hard pressed to find a better guy in the league. And he looks like he is healed. He looks like he has time and he looks to be back. And I said right away, Mikey V, I said, this Bengals team is back. And the Bills have had some tough starts to halves, to first halves in recent games. And that hasn't changed much. They scored on the first drive. It looked like it was going to be back and forth. And then they just kind of went stagnant. Then Josh threw the interception. And it just looked like they're not firing on all cylinders.
No, they're not.
So to me, I mean, like at the end of the day, like the Bills are still going to be one of the better teams in the AFC. But the Bengals, to me, have established themselves now. Now, the NFL is a weird league. One week you could think that you see something, and the next week it's completely opposite.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I think the Bills have sustained suspicions for now a couple weeks. I mean, ever since they lost to Jacksonville in England or London, they've looked the same. I mean, the win over the Giants was ugly. Giants were in that game all the way until the end. The Giants are terrible. And then the Patriots loss. I mean, this is just, it's a really bad stretch for Buffalo, and they've shown me nothing over the last month. It hasn't been a small sample size. It's been a month of bad football for Buffalo. It has.
Yeah, and the defense, early on in the season, the defense for Buffalo looked really good. They've got a bunch of injuries, but they're looking more and more by the week like they are struggling to stop teams from scoring, and that's a recipe for disaster. The Bengals, to me, are as good as any team in the AFC right now. They're catching their stride. They started out slow. Burrow looks to be the guy that they paid for, and they're going to be a real problem for anyone they play, especially if they start getting some home, like more wins that they could get home field advantage. That's going to be a tough team to beat.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, you called it too. I mean, I don't know if it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, but you said that, yeah, the Bengals are back. I mean, I know the Jet came into our hotel room and was like, this is going to be a statement game from Josh, and he's going to prove that the Bills are back. And, you know, turns out that you were right. Joe Burrow and the Bengals look fucking like one of the best teams in the league, man. They look better than their record, that's for sure. They're 5-3, but they look like a 7-1 team right now.
Yeah. My three Super Bowl champion futures are very alive and prospering right now. Bengals plus 1,100, Ravens plus 1,800, Chiefs plus 600. Those are my three Super Bowl futures, and all three right
Ravens
now.
Ravens looked real good this week.
Ravens
too.
Are pulverizing people.
Yeah. They're running the ball on people without Dobbins. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Their offensive line and their scheme, they were always that team who could just plug in a running back and they just run all over you.
Well,
they just run all over you.
Last year, whoever it was not great. Was it Gus Edwards? I thought Gus Edwards also got hurt last year.
Everybody got hurt for that.
Everyone got hurt. And
that's why nothing looked good last year. Yeah, nothing looked good.
All right. Well, I know we're going to keep it a little shorter this week, so we won't get to any more of the games from last week, but we'll talk about this week. And if you want to reflect back when we go through these games, by all means. But we will start with a Thursday night game. I'm sure one Mikey will be watching closely. He wouldn't dare go to Disney on Ice on this Thursday night game.
Oh, I would.
The Panthers are heading to Chicago at Soldier Field.
Is that the game?
And Chicago, finally at home, is a favorite. They are favored by 3.5 points. Mikey, who you got in that game?
They'll get murdered on that hook. If you're going to bet that game, first of all, you're not intelligent if you're going to bet that game. You should not bet that game because Justin Fields is not playing. There's injuries for both teams all over the place. Brian Burns is not playing for the Panthers. Fields isn't playing for the Bears. It's just a game that you shouldn't bet.
The over-under is 30.5. It's not even.
What is it?
Yeah. 38.5.
Yeah, take the under. If you're going to play anything, I'd play the under in this game. The hook will kill you if you take Chicago. Now, Chicago, this is a – don't get my words twisted. This is a must-win game for the Bears. You cannot allow Carolina to get another win with the way the Giants look. The Cardinals, I think the Cardinals will get a couple wins because Kyler's coming back. I think he's good for a win or two. So Arizona, but the way the Giants look, if you need that, you want that fucking number one overall pick, you have got to beat Carolina. If they lose to Carolina, I swear to God, and these Bears fans start fucking celebrating that they beat this team, I'm going to be so fucking pissed off. Like, I'm watching tomorrow and like, I don't even know what to do. I don't want to root for the Bears. I don't want to openly root against them, but they need to beat Carolina tomorrow. So no, I am outwardly rooting for the Bears. I am outwardly really, really hoping the Bears pull it off tomorrow night. I don't think they're good for 3.5 though. I think they're good for a field goal win. The Bears cannot be a bigger than a field goal favorite against anybody in the league. I don't care who it is. They cannot be. Now, could they cover it? Of course, anything could happen, but it's a must win game for the Bears. Got to keep Carolina at one win. You have to.
So you're taking the Panthers though, +3.5.
Yeah. I think the hook's going to kill Chicago. I think Chicago will win the game by like 2 points or like a point or three. Yeah. Okay. I think that hook will fuck you if you take the Bears. I do.
All right, Joey D.
I think the Panthers are covering, and I think they're going to win the game.
Wow.
I really hope.
Mikey,
you're probably right. I'm not trying to stir you up.
This is a game the Bears, like Mikey said, they have got to win. It's not for them winning. They have to keep Carolina at their losses.
Yes.
They have to get that first overall pick. But, dude, every time I feel like you require the Bears to step up and win a game
is when
they let you down the most.
That's correct.
And Bryce Young, listen, he's not going to be pressure. He's one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL. If the Bears don't get pressure on him, I think it could be a very tight game. And the Bears are one of the worst teams at getting pressure. So it's going to be interesting to see what gives. But yeah,
Montez Sweat has to have a big game. He's got.
I would maybe bet him to get a sack. I wonder what the line is on that. Yeah, maybe that's a good bet. Know what also I think would be a good bet is maybe a Deontay Foreman touchdown play against his old team. He looks pretty solid. I would take the Panthers. And listen, if you're taking the Panthers with the points against the Bears, why not just jump on the money line? Yeah, I would stay away from this game, though. I would stay away from this game.
Me too.
What a terrible game for Thursday night.
Garbage.
A lot of the prime time, a lot of the big games, the Sunday night, the Monday nights, the Thursday night, they've been rough.
You know, when they scheduled it, it was interesting originally. It's an interesting thing to schedule originally because the Bears made that trade. Bears made the trade with the Panthers for that first overall pick. Panthers got Bryce Young. Bears got DJ Moore. It's got a good storyline.
Justin Fields versus Bryce Young.
Right. Yeah. But the problem is both teams absolutely suck. That's the problem. And they stink. They don't suck. They stink. So the thing about Bryce Young
is I feel bad for him because he keeps getting compared to CJ Stroud. Look how good the Texans are doing. Look how bad Bryce Young's doing.
Well, he beat the Texans.
Yeah, he did, but overall, he's losing significantly. But the thing is, they're two wildly different organizations. What D'Amico Ryans is doing in Houston is absolutely making the culture that he is creating in Houston, the pieces that they have on offense. I mean, he's building something special over there. Meanwhile, the Panthers, Ron Rivera left them in an awful spot. Matt Rhule was one of the very worst head coaches in the league. Yeah. And now they have a guy in Frank Reich that I love him. In my opinion, he won that Super Bowl as much as Doug Peterson did for the Eagles, but it's unproven whether he's a good head coach. So I feel for Bryce Young, and I don't think it speaks to him being any better or worse about CJ Stroud as of yet.
I just think the two players were scouted completely wrong. Stroud is a 6'3" carbon prototype NFL quarterback. He could go through every progression, and people didn't realize that because Ryan Day's system, he didn't have to. He only had to make 1-2 reads like every other Ohio State quarterback. But Stroud had that capability. Stroud could fling the ball. And Bryce Young, for things to work for Bryce Young, first of all, he is a very small guy, very, very tiny guy. You don't see quarterbacks in the NFL succeed when they are that small.
Well, Drew, Russell Wilson.
Drew Brees, Russell. Yeah, but those are
Kyler Murray worked for a while.
A while. How's he been working out lately? This is what I'm saying. That there's far fewer of those players that work out versus the ones that do.
Baker Mayfield was another one. Look at where he is.
Yeah, well, my whole point was just that regardless of who they are as quarterbacks, one's working in a much different culture than the other. The Panthers are an absolute mess. D'Amico Ryans is really building something special over there with the Texans. I think they're going to be a team to watch in the next five years. I think they're going to be a good team for a long time.
You want to talk about a guy who left that franchise in shambles was Bill O'Brien. Did everything he could to make that team terrible.
That's right.
I mean, it was like Hopkins. He was trying to screw the Texans.
I know.
Man.
I agree. But all that to say, I'm going to take the Bears. Give me the points. give me the -3.5. Moving on, we got the Colts. Oh, man, I almost want to see. This is going to be a miserable game. And I know who Joey D is going to pick because he picks him every week. But we got Indianapolis heading to New England. They're in Germany, too. They're in Frankfurt this week. So they're not at Gillette. They're in Frankfurt. And Indy is favored by 1.5, over under 43.5. Joey D, who you like there?
Patriots win this game.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I like the Patriots. I like Bill Belichick. Off, you know, U.S. soil to get the team ready and the troops manned up. The Patriots are a team that are intriguing to me because there's times where they look like against the Bills, like a very competent team. And then there's times where they look like they don't belong on a football field. And I think the thing with the Colts, and by the way, Mikey V said it last week, I actually like the Colts. I root for this team weekly, but they're wildly sure inconsistent as well. And when you have two wildly inconsistent teams, give me the team with the better coach. I'm going to go Patriots to win this game. So I would take the 1.5. But again, anything under 2 points, I'm normally just going to take money line. I think you're better off.
Mikey?
Yeah, I'll take the Colts.
Okay, there you go. I'm also
simple as that. Yeah, simple as that.
If the Colts would stop giving Zach Moss the ball as much as they did and they just Jonathan Taylor, I would take the Colts.
And I think that's what will happen Sunday. I do.
Clearly better back.
And then I think they will get these receivers involved a little bit. And I think they'll go off play action and I think they'll have some success. We'll see.
Okay.
What a terrible game. Why would you waste your time watching that game? Why? Why would you bet on it? Why? The only people watching that game is Colts and Patriot fans. That's it. That's it.
Joey D will have a bet on that game. He will be up at 6 a.m. watching that game.
That's correct.
I'll take the Patriots as well, though. I agree with Joe, unfortunately, about the coach. I think that's unfortunately true. I'd love to take the Colts, but I won't. Texans heading to Cincinnati this week. Cincinnati is a 7-point favorite. Mikey, who do you like there?
Yeah, you know, Stroud against Burrow, two guys who both went through Ohio State. Burrow, of course, finishing his illustrious career at LSU. This is a bad spot for the Texans, I feel. I know that they've had this season that's been like a Cinderella story. It really has. Like, this is a Cinderella story season for Houston. That's a lot of lumber. It's a lot of lumber, I think. People are going to be, it's fishy that it's that high, I think, considering how well the Texans have played, which would make you think that means that the Bengals are going to blow them out. I just, every time I think the Texans are going to lose, they don't. And not to say that they're going to win outright. It's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
That being said,
this is a tough game, man, to predict.
It's a very tough game.
Everything about me, Mikey, would say take the Texans.
Yeah.
The way that they played, they played hard against the Bucs last week. They won. Like, everything would say take the Texans. It's a fishy line, a lot of points. But for that reason, I would take the Bengals.
I'm going to take the Bengals because something is not right here. And maybe this could be like, I hate to say this, and I hope it's not. This could be like a clunker game for CJ. I hope it's not because he's had such an incredible year, and I'm rooting for him just if for nothing else to break the narrative that Ohio State quarterbacks can't play in the NFL. So I really am rooting for him. But I love Burrow. Burrow's probably my favorite player in the league. I fucking love the guy. I think he's awesome. So I'll take the Bengals. I'll take the Bengals with the points.
Yeah, I'll take the Bengals as well. I mean, when you look, I've been talking high on the Texans, and I do think they're going to be a really good team the next 5 to 10 years, but I don't think they're quite there yet, especially when you look at their schedule this year. They haven't really played anyone that good except the Ravens week one, where they got decimated.
They kept that game, that was a game for a half.
But then they got destroyed. Their big statement win was a nice win against the Jags, but that was sort of before the Jags figured out who they are, and now they're playing a Bengals team that just did find out who they are. I'm going to take the Bengals. I think it's the right decision. Moving on, we're going to go to the Saints in Minnesota. The Saints are a 2.5 point favorite here, despite what Josh Dobbs just did.
That's wild.
Joey D, who do you like there?
God, man, I almost want to make this my game of the week.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Home dogs. You going with the Vikes?
It's such a preposterous line.
It is.
I agree. But here's the thing is that Dobbs, everyone's going to overreact to how he just played. And he's either going to come out and light the world on fire and he's going to be like legit. The Vikings have found a diamond in the rough, or he's just going to be bad. And I tell you what, man, the Vikings should be the favorites here. The Vikings have won 5 straight games. The Vikings are the team that look like they're trending upwards. The Saints are not a sexy looking team at all. They barely won a game last week that they should have won easily. And against your Bears, Mikey V, and I'm sure you watched it. They gave the Bears every chance to come back and win that.
Yeah, the Saints.
I was at home.
The Saints were not impressive at all.
Thing is, though, I just don't know if I can trust Dobbs that much yet. So I'm not going to take it as my game of the week, but I'm absolutely taking the Vikings.
Yeah, Mikey? Me too. I'm taking the home dog. I'm taking Minnesota. I think it's wildly disrespectful to Minnesota to have them as a home dog to a team that to me is like the Saints. The Saints may not score 17 points. I understand the Vikings defense are not world beaters, but that's just who the Saints are. The Saints could go out and not score 17 points the whole game. And if that's the case, the Vikings will beat them. They will beat them on Sunday. Now, I know Justin Jefferson came off IR, but he's still not going to, from what I understand, he's not going to play Sunday. They're not going to rush him back, which they shouldn't, but I don't think it matters. They've been winning without him. Jordan Addison has looked incredible.
Hawkinson looks good.
Hawkinson's a monster. Minnesota with points. If you're giving me a team that everything Joe said and at home and you're giving me points against that team. Yeah. Yeah.
This should be my game of the week. It really should. But
are you going to do it?
No, I'm not. Cause I got another game I'm taking.
All right. The Saints are the most back and forth Jekyll and Hyde team. Every time you think you know who they are, they come out next week and be a team that you just didn't expect them to be.
When you think they're good,
they fucking lose. When you think they suck, they come out and somehow fucking win. And it's the most infuriating football to watch. And I've stopped watching Saints games ever since they fucked me about 3 weeks ago. I think Joey D and I were on a game together and I was like, fuck this shit. But that being said, I also said a few weeks ago that I thought Josh Dobbs was a pretty good quarterback. Even in Arizona, he just made a few boneheaded errors at the end of every game. Like, why would you fucking do that? But he's a talented young man. I mean, I like the way he plays the quarterback position for about 90% of the game. And, you know, the Vikings, they've got some pieces too. So it's a fishy line. It makes you feel weird about it. Makes you feel like you don't know something that they do, but I'll take the Vikings too. Give me the 2.5. All right. The Packers are heading to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh coming off that win against Tennessee. They are a 3.5 point favorite. Joey D, how do you like that game?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Packers just won a game, thankfully, against a quarterback who I don't know if he could have played in the CFL, let alone the NFL. I want the Packers to do well. That Steelers defense is going to light up Jordan Love. It's going to be a long day for us. It's 3.5.
3.5.
Fuck it. I'm going to take the Packers. I'm gonna go against everything I just said.
Yes, you are.
Three and a half. I'll take the Packers to cover. I think the Steelers win, but the Steelers offense is not, you know, we just talked about it. It has not been that good. They haven't looked that dominant. And I think the Packers can hang around long enough that maybe, you know, they lose by a field goal. Give me the Packers to cover. Why not?
Mikey.
Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh. I'll take Pittsburgh to cover. I what Joe said is why I'm surprised he didn't take Pittsburgh. I just don't see Jordan Love doing anything in that situation. I mean, listen, if Aaron Jones, you know, goes off, then he goes off. But I can't see Jordan Love doing much against that defense. I just can't.
It was 2.5 or 3. I would take the Steelers. That extra half point doesn't sound like much, but I think it's just enough that it could. I think if I were to take the Steelers and buy it down to 3, I'd feel pretty confident.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna take the Steelers as well. I don't like anything that Matt LaFleur is doing with that offense. I don't like anything about that offense, even regardless of Jordan Love. I don't think he's done anything good with that. Jordan Love, you got to let him play his style of football, man. And until he proves that he's going to start doing that, I can't bet on the Packers ever, especially not as an away team here. So, yeah, give me the Steelers. Titans heading to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 1-point favorite, basically a pick 'em here. Mikey, who do you like?
You know, Levis having to go on the road again in Tampa. Tampa getting embarrassed last week. Well, defensively, they got embarrassed by C.J. Stroud. It's a good game, actually. I think it'll be a decent game. And I, you know what? I'm going to take the Titans. I just don't think Tampa's good. I just don't think Tampa's any good. You know, if Stroud's going to do that to them, I think Levis could have some degree of success. I think Levis learns a little bit from what happened in Pittsburgh. And I think Tennessee wins the game.
That's the right pick, Mikey. I hate Tennessee because they're so inconsistent, and I've gone against them more than almost any other team this year when I'm making my pick selections. But Tampa Bay is just not. You want to talk fraudulent based on their record? That's fraudulent, dude.
They're not it.
Their defense is susceptible for big plays. I actually think Derrick Henry could have a big game here. And I think they could control the possession. Baker Mayfield is going to make a mistake or two for sure. I would take Tennessee here. I think that's the right pick.
Okay. I'm going to take Tennessee as well. Moving on here, we got the 49ers going against the Jags. 49ers, 3-point favorite here. Joe, who you like?
Where's the game?
It's in Jacksonville. I'll start off. I'm taking the Jags. The 49ers, you want to talk about a team that has lost their way in the last several weeks? They look lost. Now, Deebo Samuel, I think, is coming back this week. I pray to God because I have him in fantasy, and the guy's been on the freaking IR for half the freaking year. But the Jags, to me, look like a team that are starting to figure things out. And I think at home, I think they could cover this spread. I really do. I think the Niners are kind of lost. Brock Purdy's making more and more mistakes. You know, he went from making no mistakes early on and looking like he just couldn't screw up to now he's turning balls over. He's making bad plays. I think the Jags cover here. I really do.
What's the total in this game, Tick?
45.5.
I tell you what I like. I like the under. I like the under a lot, to the point where that's my play of the week is the under in the Jaguars San Francisco game. Yeah.
I like that.
And I say that because, number one, teams have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, right? I believe they're both coming off the bye, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think that the addition of Chase Young with Nick Bosa and, Eric Armstead on that front and Hargrave, that's going to be difficult. I don't care how good you are. That's going to be very difficult to contend with. San Francisco has to be rallying around the fact of how they've been embarrassed, quite frankly, the last couple of weeks that they've played. Jacksonville still is a good team. They're a very good team. So Jacksonville's going to play well too. And I think I don't, and on the flip side, I don't see San Francisco just scoring at will on Jacksonville on the road. So that's the reason why I really like this under a lot. I'll probably end up giving this out as a pick as well. That's how much I do like it. And picking for the spread, I'll pick just because I have to pick. And I'll take Jacksonville, but the play here for me would be the under and forget about the spread.
Okay. This sucks for me either way, because Joe took the Jaguars. If Trevor Lawrence comes up short, he's just going to chew in to Trevor Lawrence next week. And if they win, he's going to be right. I'm going to actually pick against my guy. I think the 49ers remember who they are. I like them to come back after the bye. Kyle Shanahan has them right. I like him to win by three or more.
Yeah, if this is a close game, there's no way that total goes over. If this is a close game, there is no way that that total goes over, because San Francisco, I don't think right now, is functioning in a manner in which they could score like that. I don't.
There are also times where the Jags just forget how to play offense. Like, just Trevor Lawrence just looks terrible. And I'm like, this is the guy that I bet on, you know? So it's... Yeah. I like the 49ers to come out here. I think they're going to work well off the bye. Give me the 49ers. Cleveland heading to Baltimore. It's going to be a good game. Baltimore is a 6-point favorite, over under 38.5. Mikey V, who you like there?
I like Baltimore. And I know people are going to just say, well, you know, here's the thing. That's a lot of lumber in a divisional game, especially. It's a lot of lumber. But my thing is that I think if you want to talk frauds, I think that the Cleveland Browns defense in particular is the biggest fraud in the entire league. 1 week they look like the 85 Bears. The next week they look like the 2019 Bears or 2020 Bears.
It's because of Myles Garrett.
And it's inconsistent. And I just think that Baltimore, I can't pick against Baltimore if I have to pick that spread
again. You did last week.
Probably a game that I would find.
The game of the week, you took the Seahawks.
And yeah, so here's the thing about picking on this show.
I'm sorry, but I got
it. No, that's absolutely true, and I got taken to the cleaners. But here's the thing. I didn't give that pick out as a pick. The only pick that I've given out from this show that I actually – my game of the week was the Dallas pick against the Rams, which was a lock.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Picking on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, you don't get to watch any of the line movement. By the time Sunday rolls around, sure, a lot of things could have changed. And the way that line trended and kept going towards Baltimore Sunday morning, I knew I was fucked. I knew it. I knew that game was fucked. I knew it. And I was like, oh, there's another loss in the sportsman column. But it is what it is. Gladly, happily, people aren't paying for this. And I'm not losing people money with my picks.
That's right.
This week, Baltimore, I think it is a lot of points for a divisional game. I do, but I just think Cleveland, I don't like them at all. I think they're terrible. How about that? I think they're terrible.
You said that last week too.
What about Cleveland?
Yeah, you fucking hate them. You just hate them.
I do.
They
beat up on Arizona with Clayton Tune at quarterback.
Sure.
Yeah. Good luck with doing that against Lamar. That ain't gonna happen against Lamar. But you know, it's a divisional game. Divisional games are fucked up. I would advise not to bet this game. That would be my advice. But if you do, I would go with the Ravens.
Give me the Browns.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I'm just feeling the Browns. I mean, I think the Ravens are riding pretty high right now. Don't have a lot of reason behind it. I just like the Browns.
Yeah.
All right, the Falcons are heading to Arizona. Atlanta is a 1.5-point favorite in Arizona. Joey D, who you like?
Arizona looks terrible. Kyler Murray might be playing this game, no?
I think he's going to play. It looks like he's going to play.
And Arizona's favored, or they're
no. Atlanta, they're dogs. Atlanta's a 1.5.
If Kyler Murray plays and Arizona's a home dog 1.5, I'll take Arizona. If this Clayton Tune guy plays, it's going to be a bloodbath again.
Okay. Mikey?
I mean, I know that's an if, but
Kyler's first game back, you never know what could happen if he plays. You know, I mean, it could go so many different ways, so many different directions. What's he going to look like? Nobody fucking knows. James Conner back, which is big. I think, for Arizona. That's
Atlanta's
the bigger...
also not very good.
Right, right. Atlanta's wildly inconsistent. I think they're better served with Heinicke quarterback than Ritter, of course. But the fact that they just refuse to use Bijan Robinson is just it's mind-boggling,
it's crazy.
Mind-numbing. So yeah, I'll if Kyler plays the same thing, I'll take Arizona at home. I will.
Yeah, give me Arizona as well. Moving on, we've got Detroit playing the Chargers in LA. Detroit is a 3-point favorite coming off the bye. Mikey, who do you like there?
Listen, this is a weird game for the Lions, I think. This Chargers team, the players that they have on this offense, some of these guys like Parham and Eckler and Allen and Johnston, they have some studs on this team, and it looks like things are starting to click a little bit more for Herbert. I'm concerned for the Lions in this game. I don't think the Lions will win this game. You said the Lions are favored?
3.
Yeah, 3 points.
On the road?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go ahead and give me the Chargers with the points as a home dog. I just think this is the Chargers' time right now. And I'm not saying that Detroit's going to go off the rails. I just think this is the Chargers' little run, I think, that they're going to go on here. That's the sense I'm getting from watching them the last couple of weeks. I'll take the Chargers getting 3 at home. I actually love that. I do.
Dude, what's the total in the game?
48.5.
Oh, this thing's skyrocketing over that. That is, I wanted to take the Lions as my play of the day, of the week, as my pick of the week.
Wow.
I might do a double pick
sure.
of the week. I might go Lions to cover and the over 48.5. But I would say the over is a lot. Give me the over 40.5. That's my pick of the week.
Okay. That's the best. I think that's
these
the
defenses.
Point.
These defenses are going to give up a lot of points. 40.5. I think this game's going to be like 54.
Okay. All right.
But beautiful. I would, if I'm picking a team, I would take the Lions, but I do agree with Mikey. This is a weird Chargers team. And they just played a much more difficult defense in the Jets than they're going to face against the Lions. Now the Lions coming off a bye, over 40.5. That's my pick of the week though.
Perfect. All right, I'm going to take the Chargers as well. We got 3 more afternoon games. Let's do a little rapid fire on that. Get it moving. Let's do Giants heading to Dallas. Dallas is a 16-point favorite. Joey D, who do you like there?
Dallas.
Okay. Mikey?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Tommy DeVito, as much as I want to love him, Cedar Grove, New Jersey, Italian
this guy
kid. Yeah, no, he's not. And he's going to have to go into Dallas against Micah Parsons. And that's just going to, I'm concerned for this kid. I am to the point where like, it's almost not funny because I it's never funny to watch somebody who's like really should not be in that position. I just feel like that's kind of where I understand he's on the roster, but they just signed Matt Barkley. I really think they should have Matt Barkley close to ready to go for this game because I think it could get
it could be really
uncomfortable bad. Watching it. You know what I mean? Like it gets to a point where it's not comfortable watching it anymore. And that's where I feel like it could go. So yeah, Dallas with the points. I don't care. I don't care if it was 26. I would skip that Dallas.
I agree. Give me Dallas minus the 16. Washington heading to Seattle. Seattle is a 6.5-point favorite. Joey D, who you like there?
Commanders.
Yeah, that's a weird fucking line.
Seattle looked Geno Smith, man. By the way, I have been saying this for weeks. This guy stinks. You saw it last week.
He does. I know. I agree.
Everybody Jet was like, it's the Seahawks. I'm taking Seahawks. I'm like, dude, this is such a clearly a Ravens pick. Like, Geno Smith does not handle pressure. He makes stupid decisions. And he's not going to lead you to a playoff like win or like, he's just not it, man. 6.5? They just lost by 37 points.
And that's why.
Yeah, they'll probably cover.
I'm going to take Seattle. Because it makes no sense that they are a touchdown favorite against the Commanders. It makes no sense.
The Commanders have played well last week. They won.
It makes no sense. Seattle probably wins this game by 17 points.
That's why I was
laughing. Vegas always knows something we don't know, man.
I know. I know.
I was laughing so hard.
It fucking infuriates me.
I was laughing so hard because that's going to be my game of the week. I'm gonna take Seattle.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't like Washington going across the country. I think they're already a dog shit team, but I definitely don't like them going all the way to Seattle. The other is that everyone wants you to remember that the Seahawks just got fucking pummeled, and I think they're a better team. And I don't think they're a great team or a good team, but I think they're better than the Commanders, and I think they're better than them by 6.5 points. Joe, was there more you wanted to say about them though?
No, just saying, like, it pisses me off that Vegas always knows something more. It's like I'm a dumb kid. It's like a dumb kid in school where you're reading like the math equation and you can't understand it, but there's another kid in class who just is like looking at you like, how can't you get this? And I'm looking at him like, it just, there's nothing about this that makes sense. How can you figure? And it's like, it always is the case. And you're probably going to get a much needed win on your sportsman pick of the week this week, Tick. It's been a while since you hit.
I think we won, maybe,
and you
possibly
took the Jets last week.
But like Mikey said, luckily no one's paying for this. It's just, you know, you'd be an idiot to take me anyway.
It was a tough graphic that Mr. Anderson put out where we had four picks and three out of four were L's.
That was a bad one.
It's been bad for me too. So.
Yeah, I agree though, Joe. I mean, it's like the stock market after hours. They're playing an unfair game. There is something they know. They're getting extra time. It's a rigged game, and you got to know that when you're walking in. Unless you bet with the only subs, then you're making money.
Yeah, we've been on quite a run.
Now moving on to the Sunday night game, we got the Jets going to the Raiders in Las Vegas. Jets are a half point favorite, man. Jets are a half point favorite. Mikey, who you like there?
How can the Jets be favorite? I understand the defense and how good they are, and you know they're going to face a rookie quarterback in Aiden O'Connell. But it's on the road, man, and just like the Jets, just their offense is just horrible. Now maybe this isn't the worst matchup for them, because the Raiders defense by no means is, you know, some kind of shutdown defense. So maybe this is an ideal matchup for them. It's tough to take either of these teams, bro. It really is. But I think the Jets could be on the verge of a total fucking meltdown now. I think they had their little success and little mini run. Yeah. Give me the Raiders.
Joseph,
the Jets might score 1 point in this game. Yeah. I don't know how they can be a 1 point favorite. I don't even know if like the over under on their points, it's got to be team total points. It's got to be like 10. The Raiders looked energetic under Pierce. They looked like they had gotten the donkey that is McDaniels off their back. They looked rejuvenated. I don't know if you saw post game, they were smoking stogies in the locker room. Crosby was partying. Like they looked like they were having fun. And that's something that you can't say about this team for a long time. Is Jimmy G playing? I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter.
It's O'Connell.
O'Connell looked decent. I think this is the Raiders easily.
Jimmy G is healthy. I think they just benched him. I think he's benched. Yeah,
he hasn't played like he's healthy.
Give me the Raiders, man. This is the Jets' offense is stagnant. It's beyond.
This could
stagnant.
Be a lock. This could be a pickup.
Sure, if you want the week, you've already got two. Do you want a third? You're the only one winning right now.
I'm sticking with my over. I like the over.
Okay. All right. In the last game of the week, we got the Monday night game. We got the Broncos heading to Buffalo in Orchard Park. Buffalo is a 7.5 point favorite. Mikey, who you like?
The Dolphins at Broncos.
No,
the Broncos at Buffalo.
Correct.
7.5 point favorite for the Bills.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh no, man. I just don't know. I understand Denver. That's too much lumber. I'm not falling into the Buffalo Bills trap again. I'm just not. I'm just not. Give me Denver. Give me Denver with the points. Maybe this will probably be the week that the Bills score 35 and boom. Give me Denver until proven otherwise. I need to see the Bills blow a team out. I said I need to see Josh kill a team. I haven't seen him have that killer just destroyed. Miami. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's the Josh you're going to get this week. The Bills are going to cover this game. They're going to blow the smithereens out of the Broncos. But that being said, Mikey V, that is that's the right pick to make if you're just going based on the eye test. But the Bills are just – you want to talk Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. 1 week, they look like they could win the Super Bowl, and the next week, they look like they don't know what they're doing out there. Give me the Bills at home. This is a statement game for this team. They have got to bounce back. They have not looked good for the last month. They got to come back and win. Primetime Monday night game. Give me the Bills.
Okay. I know we want to get out of here, but we've missed the last few weeks. We got to do who's a problem. Keep it as short as you want. Mikey already sort of gave his. Maybe we
my
can just
replay
is, that. My
problem is Lincoln
back.
Riley and Mr. Anderson could just replay my rant on Lincoln Riley. He's a king without a crown. That's what he is. He's a king without a crown, and he'll never get the crown because he stinks.
Joey D.
My problem is college football kids, man. The inconsistency that these guys play with. Notre Dame, man. I can't get over this, man. This game, I can't get over. You talk about a team that is as bad as Clemson. They have looked horrid all year. And, you know, I'm going to tell you what's a problem is betting on college football is a problem because you're bound to lose money. And every Saturday I get banged. So that's my problem. That's my problem right there because there's no consistency. You never know what you're going to get. Teams that have spreads that are like blowouts. Yeah. You think you're going to get a blowout, and then some dumb shit like the Michigan game happens where Purdue, who couldn't score a field goal, scores a touchdown at the
featured,
end of the
game. Featured on because he's cooler this week. But they were the highlight. The kind of
that shit don't happen in the NFL, man. It really that shit rarely happens in the NFL. It seems to happen all the time in college football. So yeah. My problem is betting college football games and expecting results. You can't.
Yeah, listen, this year in college, my record in college this year is 24-18. It's okay. It's over 500. It's okay. But I mean, compared to the NFL, I mean, I'm 23 games over 500.
So much harder.
I mean, it's just, it's very, college is very volatile. And it's because the lines are just so insane.
But
I mean,
it's always
just
been
so
that
insane.
Way. No, Mikey?
That's true. No, it is. And you know what? Some guys will tell you college is easier to handicap. I disagree. Wow.
Not a chance. This year, anyway. This year, no way.
I've always done better in pro, always. But
it may only be easier in that there's so many more games where you can find a game that maybe you really like.
Perhaps,
but I'm talking about big time, prime time games.
Sure. All right, my problem of the week. I'll just keep it short. It's a good problem. It's Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is he just passed over 10,000 receiving yards. He's there's only one guy ahead of him for the Chargers all time. It's Antonio Gates. He made one of the most spectacular catches I ever saw the other night. It was a blowout game. It wasn't much of a game, but it was insane nonetheless. And this guy's been on good crap teams for his entire career, and he's been one of the only. Savers for that. He's been one of the only bright spots for that team. A team that just cannot fucking win, and he's always showed up for him. This guy is a real problem. If he was on any other team, they'd be hitting the playoffs. They'd be winning Super Bowls. I mean, this guy is one of the best receivers in the league, and just hasn't really ever gotten his flowers because the Chargers have always underachieved. And we're going to say, Joe.
Well, I was going to say that he kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think he was highly touted coming into the league. I don't even know. Was he drafted, Mikey, or was he undrafted?
Oh, he was drafted.
Who?
Keenan Allen.
He was drafted.
Well, he was drafted very late because I remember when he had his breakout season years ago where he kind of came onto the league by storm. People were like, this guy is something special.
76th overall pick.
76th overall.
Yeah, that's a third round. He was a third round pick.
Third round pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But, you know, he's – I have him both my fantasy leagues, so I'm rooting for him every week.
Yeah, you love him. That's right. All right, and we'll just rip a few viewer questions here. We got Jill Hillermeyer. He wants to know, and I'll start with you, Joe, what is your price on never watching another second of sports for one whole year? What's your price?
You better throw me onto the island like Castaway, like Tom Hanks. That's the only way it's happened.
There's not a number. There's got to be a number. Come on, man.
Not a realistic number.
It would save you money. You would make money because you're going to lose money gambling.
If you said to me, I'll give you $5 million to not watch a game for a year in any sport, I'll take the $5 million.
All right, Mikey.
That's a high number.
Is that $5 million untaxed? The $5 million?
Yeah, let's just call it untaxed.
Well,
money.
Is it going to be, am I going to be living in Florida or California?
Untaxed money, not to watch a second of sports for a year.
That's insane.
Oh, man.
Sports makes up such a big part of our lives.
Yeah, $25 million.
Holy, you're telling me someone offers you $10 million. You ain't doing it. It's 1 year,
Mike. If you show me $10 million in cash, I probably out of the best interest for my family, I'd probably have to take the $10 million. Yeah.
He'd be in the fucking pools of Bora Bora sipping coconut juice and fucking doing a luau.
Yeah, but how am I? Now, suppose I'm in that pool and they put Wimbledon on or something on the TV. Hey, like, what do I have to do? Like, not look? Like, how am I gonna? It's a preposterous question. It's a good question.
Let's move it on. Yeah.
We love our viewers. It's a great question, but it's also preposterous because how could you avoid it? It's unavoidable. It's Americana.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to have whatever it is that cost me to be out of America for an entire year, plus another $2 million. I don't know what that costs. Maybe another maybe $4 million. All right. This next question. Thank you, Jack, for that question. This one comes from Chris Freeze. At what point do you put a team or player on your betting ban list? Three beats, more or less? What does it take?
Yeah, I did that with the Denver Nuggets last year. Which was ironic, obviously, but I kept getting beat by, you know what that is though? It's really the sport. The NBA is on my betting ban list. I really will rarely ever put out an NBA pick. I think it's the most volatile betting in all of sports. It's terrible. The league has been ruined in terms of that. So it takes a certain amount of beats, I would think, but I wouldn't put a number on it. I just think the NBA is unbettable. I think it's unbettable. If you want to make money, I think it's unbettable. It's unbettable.
There's some people who make their bread and butter off the NBA.
Yeah, I guess. I don't believe it. Show them to me. Who are these people?
Vegas Dave.
Yeah, Vegas Dave does, actually. But who knows what his real numbers are?
That's the thing. You got to be transparent. Like, you got to do the weekly report. I want to see it. I got to see it because I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fail me three times, never again am I taking you.
I didn't even know there was a three times. I thought it was just two things. I thought I'm answering the question.
Oh,
I'm
you added that. Oh, I'm answering his question.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
Three times you beat me, you bang me three times. Like the Saints, tickets right, the Saints. We went to the Saints early on and bang, 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 never again. That's it for the rest of the season. It has to be like a no-brainer play. I'll look the other way.
Yeah, I agree. Three bad bets probably, or two just decimations. Two just back to close game decimations. Something along those lines. And the last question we'll do tonight comes from Michael Martinez. He says, best meal after hitting a big bet. When you hit a big bet, you're celebrating. What's the go-to meal?
Big old steak.
Wow.
Some sides. Give me a glass of Cabernet.
That's outrageous, man. Give me a $100 Chinese food delivery.
Oh, that's pretty good too.
Give me like a Chinese smorgasbord with you know nice Modelo on the side. It'd be great. Just enough for me. Amongst other things.
I like Joe's order. I mean, if it's a big
bet. Joe's is great. Yeah.
Gone out with your boys after a big win?
I guess.
Well, on the West Coast, it's different.
I feel like if I hit a big bet, the likelihood of me hitting a big bet, I'm most likely at home. So it's like, I just like, that's,
you know, so that's
Bob and I, we've had a couple good Sundays. We went out for Italian afterwards had a hell of a night.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of party bets next weekend. A lot of party bets.
We're back on, by the way.
We're back on.
We're back on. All right. Tick, we by the way, episode, we are a 100% go ticket link available tomorrow for the Brilliantly Dumb Show live. So I might as well promote it here.
Wow.
Might
as well promote it here.
The Brilliantly Dumb Show live. And Ticket will be there. And by Joey D will be there. The Chelsea Music Hall, New York City.
Bangarang.
Tickets, there's only 244 tickets available. And when the link goes up, that'll be the end of it.
Maybe there'll be all sportsmen people who show up.
We would love the sportsmen crew to be there.
I got to tell you what, this sportsman crew, like the diehard Facebook.
Sportsmen's
they are special, on the come up. Man.
People are making the claim that the sportsman's the best pod out there right now. I've seen it in comments. I've seen it.
Sportsman we're just sponsored by Manscaped.
That's right.
We love our friends over at Manscaped, by the way. Manscaped.com. You use the promo code SportsmanPod.
There you go.
I believe it is, right?
Look what they just sent me here. Take a look at this package.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't get that. I didn't get that.
No, it's coming. Look at this. Mikey, the good people over at Manscaped are sending them.
Okay, good.
Oh, look.
I got a t-shirt that says your balls will thank you.
And they sent me
that's a t-shirt.
They sent me a newspaper. It
says your balls will thank
you. We say balls.
There you go.
So those are
saving one ball at a time.
That's right.
If you use Manscaped, your pubic region will go from what looks like Joe's face to what looks like my head. So you make that decision for yourself, okay?
Absolutely. Oh. My delivery's here.
Oh, mine's on its way too. So all right, use the promo code for the Manscaped. Get your tickets for the Brilliantly Dumb Show at the Chelsea Hall in New York. Gentlemen, it's another good episode. It's another episode of The Sportsman, in fact. That's Mikey V. That's Joey D down there. I'm the Big Ticket, and we will see everyone next week. Have a good one.
Thanks, folks.